I am reading this morning from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. Our Old Testament reading is found in Micah chapter 6, verses 6 to 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The reading of the word.
On Remembrance Sunday, we have to remind ourselves that this day, and even on the 11th itself, it's not a glorification of war. It's not a celebration that we won. Not the righteous thumbing our nose at those who lost, but it's a solemn reminder of the pain felt around the earth in those moments we have given in to the violence within our hearts. Our hearts should turn in remembering. They should hurt, remembering those who have lost their lives, remembering those who have lost their innocence, coming back forever changed by the horrors they witnessed. Remembrance Day should make us feel uncomfortable. It's part of our tradition to feel uncomfortable with appeals to the use of force to solve the problems of this world. And rightly so, as a United Church chaplain has said. During World War II, 65 United Church clergy signed a document called Witness Against War, mirroring their Quaker or Mennonite sisters and brothers advocating for a nonviolent response. I'm sure this witness sprung out of their ministry to the congregations filled with Canadians, each remembering a family member who had disappeared into the fog of war. Even today, on a United Church clergy Facebook group that I frequent, discussions were held as to whether or not Remembrance Day services belonged in church at all. Remembrance Day has little to do with Canada and any national identity or a glorification of war. We're reminded, and we need the reminding, that we share a common humanity, a common heritage, that as Shylock, the Jewish moneylender within Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice, reminds us, "If you prick us, do we not bleed? If you tickle us, do we not laugh? If you poison us, do we not die?" No matter where we're born upon this earth, life and death call to us daily as we fight this innate struggle of hatred and anger and divisiveness within ourselves. Because Shylock goes on saying, "If you poison us, do we not die? If you wrong us, shall we not revenge? If we are like you in the rest, we will resemble you in that. If a Jew wrong a Christian, what is his humility? Revenge. If a Christian wrong a Jew, what should his sufferance be by Christian example? Why, revenge." Fascinating that Shylock knows more about our common humanity and our propensity to seek revenge than almost the counterintuitiveness of our Christian faith, that teaches in turning the other cheek, forgiving enemies, and laying down one's life in service of others. This year, I was privileged to preside at the funeral for Ken Gawthorn. For those that don't know, and honestly, I didn't know until I sat down with the family, Ken was a veteran of both World War II and the Korean War. The time serving and living and watching those he loved die around him. In the first instance, when he was called to war in World War II, he lied about his age. He was 16 and a half. He was denied the first time he went up to serve. And a couple of days later, he went back and said, "I'd like to enlist." They said, weren't you here a couple days ago? He said, "No, that was my brother." And signed him right up. He served because of love of family and friends. Not for medals, not for the glory of Remembrance Day services or some misguided notion of revenge. He knew in his heart of hearts those he loved, the relationships which gave his life meaning, and for the peace he knew the world deserved. We think it's bad now with our 24/7 news cycle and our Twitter feeds blowing up, but imagine that time. The anxiety of not knowing is almost worse. And those who served came from a place of deep respect for peace. Peace that we all deserved. And so we read this scripture, the Beatitudes, this famous sermon of Jesus's. We read these words, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And know that in his time there was no threat of war. But still there was no peace of mind or heart or soul. People struggled to live up to the expectations of family and religion and the state. So what did he mean by this blessing? I think in proclaiming that the peacemakers are blessed reminds us to make peace within the wars ourselves, within the wars inside ourselves. For we undergo such stress in trying to hold it all together, to accomplish every task, to keep the bills paid, and the laundry done, and the meals healthy, and still find time for those things that give our life meaning, and finding time in amongst all of that for God. We know it's a struggle. I don't know if you saw it this morning. I misplaced the bulletin. And I was completely and utterly lost. I wrote the service in the week, rehearsed it in my mind this morning, but in a moment, all of the peace I had before coming into church was gone because I put down a piece of paper. You know what made me pause? It was the anthem. I had to breathe to sing. I had to stop myself and take a deep breath, and instantly I knew where the bulletin was. When we don't care for ourselves, when we give in to those wars that fight within us, when we don't find that peace for ourselves, everything's gone. Finding that peace is integral in our lives, and we know how much of a struggle it is because of the language we use, right? When we say we're taking time to do something, or even worse, carving out time. It's this violent imagery. To remind ourselves that peace is a hard-fought venture sometimes. For those of you that are aware, there's a movement outside of the church called mindfulness right now. Mindfulness meditation movement that is no different than making peace with whatever you're doing in the current time. It may be something as mundane as remembering where you put the bulletin, or as mundane as doing the laundry, but it's pausing in that time to take a breath and offer a word of peace and thanks to ground yourself in the moment that is bigger than yourself, to remind yourself of all the nuts and bolts that went into that washer. To offer thanks for the opportunity to have clothes, some of which make you feel good about yourself. To think about where those clothes originated, and the people that created them. The mindfulness movement is an awareness of the peace that our world needs, which starts with us. Praying peace into the situation in which we find ourselves means mindfully offering that moment to God, thankful even for the moments of strife. That's what Remembrance Day is about, is being a peacemaker in every single moment of our lives. Being at peace with who we are and who we try to be, and our failings and our faults and our successes and joys, all of these wrapped up together in this being we call ourselves. Finding peace in that moment is what Remembrance Day is all about. Because we cannot make peace in our world if we cannot find peace in ourselves. It's a wisdom taught, I believe, by Taoism. And I could only find it connected loosely to the Tao Te Ching, which it's been rewritten in the way I found it. This is wisdom that transcends religion, but wisdom so needed for our time, and so I'll share it with you. If there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in the nations. If there is to be peace in the nations, there must be peace in the cities. If there is to be peace in the cities, there must be peace between neighbors. If there is to be peace between neighbors, there must be peace in the home. And if there is to be peace in the home, there must be peace in the heart. May peace emanate from you this day. Amen.